Blog Talk Radio.
We want to welcome y'all to Two Wise Women Show.
That's right.
J. Dill and Dr. Lamar.
Let's go.
Yeah. Hey, 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 hey.
Two wise women. J. Dill. Yeah. Two wise women.
You know
Dr. Lamar. Two wise women. You better pay attention.
Good morning, and welcome to the show. We are two wise women, J. Dia of You Are Worthy, and
Dr. Lamar with The Wise Inc.
And we are here to educate and illuminate topics that have to do with relationships, sex, money, and love. We are committed to your knowing and growing. So, I think we have a very hot topic today. We will be talking about sex, but more specifically, we'll be talking about men and sex. And we have a very special guest this morning, Earth, from the Four Elements Talk Show. Good morning, Earth.
Good morning. How are y'all doing this morning?
I'm doing wonderful. What about you, Dr. Lamar? How are you doing this morning?
I am doing phenomenal. Thanks for asking.
So, if you've been keeping up with social media, there was this very interesting video that was posted on my Facebook page about this young woman who approached 100 men and asked them if they wanted to have sex with her. No strings attached. And to be honest with you, I almost didn't watch it because I already had an idea of what the outcome was going to be. However, what had me watch it was what they said. You will be surprised by the results. So, before we even delve into the results, like, Dr. Lamar, just have you heard about that video? Have you seen it or any of that? Because I did post it on our site when I was doing the event. So, have you seen it? Have you heard about it?
Yeah, I looked at it and I thought that it was really interesting. I was surprised with the results, which I'm sure you'll reveal later. I was really surprised, and I had assumed prior to looking at it that I knew exactly what it would be. So, yeah, I was really shocked.
Yeah, I did, too. I just knew that at least 50% of those men would say, hell yeah, not just yes, but hell yeah. And to be honest with you, I expected higher than 50%, but I was being conservative with my numbers. And so, yeah, after watching it, I was like, really? Is this? So it forced me to rethink what I thought about men and sex. And that's why I wanted to do this show on men and sex, because I'm beginning to realize that what I think I know about men is a part of the myth. This is like a continuation of the conversation we had last month. About let's talk about sex. So my myth about men and sex is they want it all the time and they have sex with anybody at any time. And especially if there are no strings attached, they're going to say yes to it gleefully, happily, and like they've gotten away with something. So Dr. Lamar, what were your thoughts? Like, what did you think the results were going to be before you even watched it?
Well, my thoughts are I kind of thought almost similar to what you were thinking. I don't think that men will have sex with anybody and at any time, but I do think that men think about sex. And I also think, now again, this is me speaking from a female's perspective, I think it depends on their age, like where they are in life, because I know sometimes the younger they are, the more they may have a larger sexual appetite. And the older that they get, depending on their job, depending on their relationship, just depending on where they are in life, that may stay the same or it may increase or decrease. But I was very shocked to see that the results, yeah.
So I don't want to leave Earth out of this conversation, so I'm going to give the results. And for our listeners, if you want to jump in on this conversation, please do, and just press 1 to get in on the conversation. So, Earth, the results were 70% of the men said no, and I was blown away by that. Like, 30% did say yes, but 70% said no. So, what does this say about men and their sex lives? As Dr. Lamar was saying, she was expecting a higher percentage as well, but she doesn't believe that men will have sex with anybody. But, I mean, that's what I grew up believing, so that's a part of my myth. So illuminate us, Earth, about men in your sex life.
Well, I did watch the video, and I wasn't surprised by the results of the video at all. Because men will not sleep with any and everything. Now, let me say something before I go any further. Now, you do have some men who will. So I'm not going to say 100%, but most men will not do that because they're what people aren't taking into account is that, you know, men have types of women that they're attracted to. So when, you know, the guy said no, I wasn't surprised. It's just like there was one brother on the video. She walked up to him. He was sitting on a bench. I don't know if he was waiting for the bus or he was just kind of chilling. But she said, oh, you know, would you like to have sex with me? And he was like, nah. She was like, no. He was like, no, I like my women cornbread fed, which that just cracked me up.
Oh, so that's you just mentioned something that I have been researching, that men have what we say is a body type. So that's also a myth. Then the myth is that it doesn't matter what she looks like, that he will have sex with her. So what you're saying is that there's a body type. Dr. Lamar, were you aware that men had a body type?
I can totally agree with that, I can kind of look and I can really agree with that. I have a brother, and I can kind of point out women that he would talk to, or that I would automatically know that's attractive to him. And I definitely believe that men have body types. And you know what was funny? The same thing with our spouses and our significant others. They have body types as well. You know, and they may say, you know, this attracted me to you because I like this particular thing on a woman, and that's why, you know, I pulled you to the side. So, yeah, I definitely think that men have body types.
So, Earth, so the woman who, the brother who said, I like my man cornbread fed, so he was referring to a body type, am I correct?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely he was. He was referring to a body type, and I think it goes deeper than body type also, because one thing that we don't take into account a lot of times, and I would even argue that many men don't take this into account, because we're kind of trained as men growing up, and we hear the same messages that women hear about men, and it's, you know, that sex is, you know, something that's physical, and we many times take out the sort of the non-physical aspect of it, and don't realize that there are a lot of other factors that go into play. You know, and that really sex is about procreation at the end of the day. Sex really isn't about it's really not about just this physical act that people do and then at some point people are like, oh, well, let's have kids. It's all about procreation from the beginning. Because, you know, men are okay, because we know that women give off pheromones, men give off pheromones, and those are things that really attract us to each other, that we don't take into account. I never hear anybody in a conversation say anything about pheromones. I never hear anyone in a conversation say anything about things that attract us to each other that are not physical. Even with women.
So it's not about
the interject. I'm sorry, Jadia, go ahead.
No, go ahead, Dr. Lamar, because I want to hear what you got to say.
Okay. Well, as I'm sitting here listening to Earth, I'm just smiling, and I would like for you to clarify something, Earth. Are you telling me that, and this is what I'm not sure about, when you say sex and when people have sex, what's on their mind is procreating. And I'm thinking in my head, I do believe that people do believe in procreation. Like, I think that is something that is significant. But I don't think that that's the majority of people that are having sex and thinking about bringing a life into this world. So my question to you is, kind of clarify to me what you mean when you say, you know, when we have sex, it's primarily to procreate.
Well, okay, let me clarify.
I want to interject on that one, too.
Oh, go ahead.
No, go ahead. I want to hear what you have to say, but I've been doing some research.
Well,
so I'm going to consider this part of my research.
When I say procreate, right, it's really what's going on subconsciously, not consciously. So I'm not saying people go out and consciously know what they're doing, but if anybody sits down and they really think about what's going on in their minds when they think about sex, or if they're like aroused or horny at the moment, or if they see someone they're attracted to, especially if they see someone they're attracted to. If you really sit down and just be quiet and think deeply what's going on underneath all that, and I know this because I've done it before, because I used to think like, why do I see certain women and I just have this insatiable attraction to them, and I see other women, and I'm not. And it went beat when I sat and thought about it, and I was like in the kind of meditating. I was meditating on it. What came up for me was procreation, and that's what goes on underneath everything else. It's about survival of the species. It's about passing our genes on to another generation for survival. That's what it's about. And then after that comes then we can go into the realm of, oh, this is something I do for pleasure. But the first thing is survival.
So I want to add on to that what I've been discovering is that there are like these three P's: procreate, protect, and provide. And I agree with Earth that we're kind of unconscious about this procreate, which if you, like, we know what procreate means, but when you talk to a man, he will normally say sex, and if you talk to a woman, she'll say make babies. But it is about making sure that the human race survives. And it's factory installed. It's there, because if not, you have to think about it. How often would we think about having sex if it wasn't already factory installed? When we think about, as women, once a month we ovulate, where there's this, where we're very fertile, and we have this really strong desire to have sex. And what I noticed with men is that, of course, their sex drive is driven by, in addition to other things, testosterone. And the more testosterone there is, or the higher level of the testosterone, will determine how frequently he will want to have sex. And that testosterone creates that hunger in a man for sex, where it's like this buildup of pressure where he ends up having to have it, and he ends up with that one-night stand. He ends up with that woman that he wouldn't have, under normal circumstances, considered. So, and it's all biological, and it's human nature or human animal. That's what we like to say, it's human animal. It's instinctual, as Earth was saying. And it shows up for men and women differently. And the way it shows up for me as a woman, until I started doing this research, I thought it was the same way for men. Not 100%, but I thought it was similar. And to discover in my research that, no, it's entirely different. So, Dr. Lamar Earth, what else about procreation?
I would definitely like to hear some of our listener views, because I'm telling you guys, I'm stuck on that. I do think that some of the things that you guys talked about, Earth Factory Install, I do think that that's just the way that we were created. But I'm having a really difficult time thinking that every time someone has sex, they're thinking about procreation, even with the one-night stand that you just mentioned, even though they may have that desire to have sex. Or when you also mentioned that someone having sex with someone they would have never imagined having sex with, that the first thing on their mind or something on their mind, even if it's unconscious, is procreating with this particular person. So I do think that, you know, procreation is really, really big, and it's very significant when having sex. But I don't know if I can stick with the ideology of when people have sex, majority of the time, that they're thinking about procreate, especially if they're not in a committed relationship. So we have a caller on the line,
Before you go to the caller, I just want to clear up something. I didn't say that that's what they're thinking about. I'm saying that's what's driving the behavior, is procreate. Like, it's not there in the forefront. And I don't, Earth, is that what you were saying, that that's what they're thinking about, or that's what's behind the behavior?
Well, yeah, my comment was around what's behind the behavior, not...
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. So if I didn't articulate that properly, I apologize for it. But yeah, that was my line of thinking.
You got a caller?
Okay.
Lamar?
Yeah, we're going to get to the caller. So for clarification, you all are saying that when someone has sex, what's driving that sex is procreation.
Yes.
Yeah, see, I'm struggling with that too. But okay, guys, I'm going to go to caller with the last four numbers of 2918. State your name and where you're calling from and your question or concern.
Good morning. My name is Zelma, and I'm calling from Atlanta. I don't think that everybody... That's one of the things. Some people just like to have sex. Procreation is not on my mind in the process, not even at the start or at the end. So that is kind of funny that you would say that. But I don't think so. And it probably depends on what a person is in life. When it comes down to that thought.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for sharing, Zelma.
You're more than welcome.
Thank you, Zelma, for that.
You ladies are doing wonderful, too. I enjoy your show.
Thank you.
All right, you all have a good week.
So, Earth, what do you want to say to that?
Well, this is what I want to say to that, is that, you know, it's when you have a behavior that's being driven by something that's subconscious. It's something that's going on in, that's happening in a blind spot, so to speak, in an area that we're not conscious of. We don't see that that's what's happening, and we have no clue that that that's what's driving a certain behavior. And you have to, and I would agree that, you know, everybody doesn't recognize that, everybody doesn't see it, but what's driving that behavior itself is procreation.
Gotcha.
Period. And you may be in a state where, oh, you know, I just want to relieve myself, and that's what we're thinking. Oh, I just want to relieve myself, which is quite, you know, normal for people. But the thing that drives that behavior, that subconscious, is procreation. Because one of the things we have to understand is we are animals, no different than any creature that we would classify as an animal. And we are driven by the same biological forces that any other animal in nature is driven by.
And I think that as humans, we tend to think of ourselves as being so evolved that sex is at the bottom versus that it's right there without it, the importance of it and why we need it. And that's why I think whoever the creator, the source of human beings, put this in us, because it seems as if our mind goes to this place that sex is unnecessary. Or there was a time in history when you only had sex to procreate. That was the only purpose of sex. And that women were not even believed to enjoy sex. That it was thought that women didn't have the capacity to enjoy sex. And so it seems as if where we are now is that sex is for pleasure, and that we're not looking at that sex has several elements. And I think that if that pleasure element wasn't a part of it, we probably wouldn't want to do it as well. I know I don't like going to the dentist. There's nothing pleasurable about that. And this may be comparing apples to oranges, but as opposed to when I think about sex, and the more connected I am with the person, now that could be because I'm older and I require more of a connection for sex to be enjoyable. So it's moved beyond pleasurable to enjoyable. And in the last show we talked about was that only 30% of women have orgasms through the vagina, vaginal. So it's like there are these other things that you do to increase the pleasure of sex for these women. So what do you think about that, Dr. Lamar and Earth?
I think you all are making some really, really good points. I think that procreation is definitely something big, you know, and something that is, you know, so I'm not minimizing that people aren't having sex or are having sex in order to procreate. But, you know, again, I went back to the majority piece, and you mentioned at one point in time in history that women were having sex just to procreate. Well, and that sex wasn't supposed to be pleasurable. You still have that current day going on in some tribes in Africa, and that's the purpose of, you know, cutting off the clitoris. And so that's definitely still going on still today. But we have another caller on the line.
All right.
With the last four numbers of 2287. Caller, state your name and where you're calling from and your comment or question.
No, I'm Jason, and I'm calling from, at the moment I'm in Kentucky, Bowling Green, Kentucky. And I pretty much just wanted to kind of reiterate what I'm thinking about this topic. I like the thought that it's underlying, because it's kind of like breathing. I can relate to the underlying part of having the procreation behind the drive, what we do sometimes when it comes to sex. It's the same. I very much related to breathing. We don't know that we're doing it, but we're doing it. We don't consciously say inhale, exhale, but we know, well, it's to keep us alive. It's a point to it. There's a pattern that's behind it, and it's kind of similar that I think I can relate to with Earth, especially for men. When we're out picking or choosing to have sex at a particular time, there is kind of like part way back, maybe all the way at the end, but there is an underlying drive that in case something goes wrong with this scenario, she's not half bad, I would definitely procreate with this person. And it's not subconscious. It's, you know, sometimes it is, but other times it's a thought that it's not a thought. It's just moving the drive that's behind the sex that we're looking for at that particular time. Great show, everybody.
Thank you.
Well, thank you so much for calling in, Jason and Sharon.
So now, I was reading in
Hello?
Hello, Jadia?
Earth? Yeah, I think
I'm here.
I think she was disconnected. So, Earth, what were some of your thoughts about what Jason just shared?
No, I totally agree with Jason. When he was speaking, I thought about like my view, like when I really sit down and think about my relationship to sex, like what am I dealing with around sex? And what I realized is that I actually have a sex cycle, meaning that it's certain times during the month that I am extremely, desiring sex, put it like that. And it lasts for about a week and a half to 2 weeks, and then it normalizes after that. And then when I think, like during these periods, so, and, you know, as you all can tell, I actually sit in and do a lot of, you know, experimenting on myself. So over a period of time, you know, I tracked what am I thinking about during this time period? Like what am I feeling during this time period? Because, of course, the first feeling is, you know, a feeling of arousal, like, okay, I have this desire, I want to have sex. But what's underlying all of that? And it went right back to a strong desire to procreate. Like when I really sat down and tracked it over several months, I think I tracked it for like 6 months, and really thought about what am I thinking about? And of course, like the first few months, you know, all I could come up with is, oh, you know, I'm thinking about an image of a certain type of woman. So it's all about something visual. And the more I tracked it, the deeper I could think, it came down to procreation. And this happens consistently for me every month without failure. So that's what the caller had me think about.
Okay,
so,
good deal. And Ms. J.D., you were saying something, and then we couldn't hear you, so please let us know what was on your mind.
Well, I thank you, Dr. Lamar. Well, Earth, you mentioned something that's very interesting that had me now want to jump on that one versus what I was going to say, but it kind of ties in a little bit. You said that you have a cycle to, there's a sex cycle for you is what I think I heard you say.
Mm-hmm.
And I find that interesting because I know that as women that time, there's a cycle for us, which is that monthly cycle. And there's even like this yearly cycle, which it still ties into time. There's this element of time about sex. And for us as women is, there's this fertile period every month that will drive my thinking about sex. It will even cause me to be a little more aggressive. And I have that amorous behavior. I will probably be more flirtatious, biologically, my voice will be more seductive. My skin will glow more around that fertile period. And I am definitely interested in having sex. Like, you get me during that fertile period, say the right things, and sometimes I don't even have to say the right things. I'm like, I'm a yes. And I've been conditioned in society to not be a readily yes, because my behavior has been conditioned to not be slutty, whorish, and now the young people are saying, I think thought that hoe over there. So, but you can see that's all around maintaining, suppressing my sexuality as a woman. Where with men, they're encouraged. And so the research that I was going to talk about is that there's some research out there that says on average, a man in his lifetime would like to have at least 15 sexual partners. And, of course, for women, we want that number to be much lower. Some have a preference of 1 to 2, but I would think that the preference is probably less than 10. But when you talk about the cycle for sex, what I'm left with is it driven by the building of your testosterone? Like the and there are things that I've discovered that will build a man's testosterone so that it can release. So that's my question. I said a lot, well, but
I know, right? Because I was like, which question? Which you know, yeah.
Well, yeah, it is definitely built by a man's testosterone. And the more active a man is, the higher his testosterone levels, even though when a man turns 32, from 32 on, his testosterone levels begin to naturally decrease. And they'll continue to decrease if he's inactive. But as long as, you know, a man is active, meaning he's working out, he could be walking every day, running, lifting weights, some type of physical activity on a daily basis, his testosterone levels will remain at a high level. His body will continue to produce high levels of testosterone because we need that to stay, in order to stay active, we need to have high testosterone levels. So I definitely agree with what you're saying, Jadea. And when you were speaking, there are other factors that go into a man's sex drive, and that is, you know, a female's pheromones, which are released, you know, through musk, which we've been trained in our culture that, oh, you need to wear deodorant. And I was a huge proponent of that. I wear deodorant, so just to be clear, of like, ooh, you know, when somebody is musty, that stinks. Like, that's how I was trained. But I was watching, I take that back. I wasn't watching a show. A friend of mine had gone to South Africa. And when she came back, she said, you know what? She said, interesting. She said, but many of the women they actually think men smell good when they're musty. And she was like, that is just disgusting. So then I started thinking, wow, I mean, okay, so there's something to musk, because we wouldn't be musty if it wasn't. We don't just arbitrarily just kind of get musty. So then, you know, me being who I am, I started thinking about what do I think about when I smell a woman who's musty. And, of course, initially I was like, nah, she needs to go bathe. But then I said, okay, let me see if I can erase that line of thinking and start really concentrating on musk. And when I smelled musk on a woman, over time, it actually started to smell good. Because during this time period, I was working out, and there was the crew I was working out with, there were a couple of women that worked out with us. So, of course, you're going to get kind of musty, like we do. So then I didn't tell anybody what I was doing, but I intentionally started paying attention to how they smelled. And over time, it actually started smelling good, and it was very arousing over a period of time. Now, do I want my woman walking around smelling musty? Absolutely not. We don't want that.
You don't want her. You don't want her sending off any pheromone scents to other men. Saying, okay.
Or he doesn't want other people talking about her. Like, you know what? Her old lady is a musty little lady. She's not
yeah.
taking care of her body. But guys, thank you so much. I want to go to the. I want to go to this next caller. We have a caller on the line. Last numbers are 9784. Caller, state your name, where you're calling from, and your question or comment.
Hi, I'm Jasmine. I'm calling from Atlanta. And
good morning, Jasmine.
Good morning. I was calling. This is a very interesting topic, and I just had a comment. I think I agree with just about everybody on the panel because just like everything else with the human race, we evolve. And I do believe that sex was created for procreation. It was created so that we can continue to live and continue to have a human race. And just like I think Earth made the comment about deodorant. And for years and years and years before deodorant was created, we didn't wear deodorant. And so that's the same thing with sex. As we continue to have sex, we continue to realize, oh, this is something that we can enjoy, and we can enjoy it this way, and we can enjoy it that way, and we can enjoy it in various ways. And so now the first thought of sex is not necessarily geared towards procreation, but the reason and the biological reason for sex is never going to change. It's going to always go back to procreation. And I also agree that men, just like women, have sex cycles. And if you are in a long-term relationship, I'm married, and if you are married, you will notice that his or your spouse's or your partner's cycles align with yours. They will become the same. And if you pay close attention, you'll realize that when you are ovulating, he has a greater sex drive. His sex drive will increase because that is the biological need to procreate. And so I do agree with Earth that it all comes back to procreation. The reason that it was those feelings and these hormones and the levels go up and down, which creates our cycles of sex, and the reason was so that we could, and they have to go down because we can't just have sex all day, every day. We wouldn't be able to survive. We wouldn't eat or live or work. So they have to go down, and then they have to rise so that we could procreate and continue this cycle of life. But I think as we have evolved and gotten interested, and we have these jobs and we have careers and we're building things and we're doing more stuff, way more than what they were doing at the beginning of the human race, our minds are not focused on sex. And that our minds play a huge part in dictating what our bodies will not do, which creates the issue. But our bodies will ultimately win because of the hormones that are being produced. So this is a very good topic, and it's greatly appreciated that y'all are talking about it. I hope a lot of people are listening, and just thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Well, thank you so much, Ms. Jasmine. But I don't know about you guys on the other end, Earth and Jadea, but I'm over here about to jump out of my seat. And the reason why is I want to kind of just kind of piggyback on what the caller just called in and said about the evolution of the human race. And I was just thinking, again, like I mentioned to you guys, it's not that I don't think that procreation is significant. It is definitely. But in this day and time, I think it's a little less likely. Not that it doesn't happen, but my thoughts were every time someone has sex, or majority of the time that someone has sex, I don't know if the first thing that pops in their mind, and I know you guys said it's not driven by thought, but the behavior is it was procreation. But something popped in my head as Jasmine was talking, and how a lot of things are created for one reason, but as we evolve, it kind of shifts. Which took me back to marriage. Marriage was created for one reason, but that has taken on a different. It has shifted, you know, over the years, and shifted and evolved over the years. So sometimes when something is created, and I know marriage isn't necessarily as biological as procreation. And I know marriage isn't something that is, I don't want to say that it's not instinctual, because it is our ability to connect and to partner. So that is something that is, you know, like Jadea said, it's something that is factory made or factory. It's installed.
Factory installed.
It's, you know, it's installed. In, yeah, factory installed. Thank you, ma'am. And so I was just thinking about that. So I do believe that part, that as we evolve, things begin to shift. Not to say that it's not important or that it doesn't happen, but I'm just really thinking about every time somebody has sex, is it really related to procreation? So good points, guys, but I just wanted to share those 2 cents with you guys.
Well, I want to piggyback. Well, I want to piggyback on what Earth shared in about the must, because one of the things that even before, because I read a study similar to that, but even before that, I like a musty man, not a funky man. So there's a difference, but I like
yes.
The like the must. And I like sniffing. Like I like the fragrance of his natural body odor that's left in his clothes. And I like when it mixed with mine and it's left in my clothes. And so it doesn't surprise me that that's there. And some of the things that we've been programmed away from that natural way of being is for social purposes more so than that biological reason. But the thing I just wanted to make that comment, but the piggybacking is on the testosterone and what even the college Jasmine said, there's this ebb and flow of a man's sexuality and Earth. Is this, there are things that I research that says will spike a man's testosterone, and one is competition. And the other thing is being able to produce a result. What else? That being around passionate people, or so those are some of the things that I've read that will spike a man's testosterone. Are there other things? And is there any validity in what I just shared about these are some things that will cause a man's testosterone to increase?
Yeah, the competition, I can definitely see that spiking a man's testosterone. So, yeah. The other two, I'll have to think about those. I'm not sure about that. But competition, yeah, certainly.
Well, and, you know, the other thing that I think about, like for a woman, when we set a romantic mood, when we're wanting to get in the mood and wanting our spouse or partner to be in the mood, we do the candlelight dinner and play the soft music, because for us, that's, and this is a generality, but that's what will get us in the mood. And what I've discovered is that makes a man sleepy. And to get him in the mood is let him watch a movie or a sport event, because then that'll increase his testosterone, or that movie with a battle scene in it where there's this, or car chase, like the Fast and Furious. How many of them are there? Like all these movies that are geared toward adventure, competition, excitement, adrenaline, the car chase. So what do you say to that, Earth?
Well, and that may be the case, and I can speak for myself. For me, if I see a woman that's kind of sweaty, that turns me on. So if me and my woman go out and we exercise, or she goes to exercise and then I see her, then I just get turned on by that. The movie thing doesn't impact me at all. That doesn't get me in any kind of mood if I see a movie or something like that. You mentioned like creating a romantic atmosphere, like that doesn't make me sleepy. I mean, I'm not. If a woman, you know, puts out candles and music and and all of that, yeah, it does stimulate something mentally for me. And it may be because I know what that means. So, so I just kind of like, oh, okay, we about to put it down.
Oh, okay. Well, I think you guys are making some really, really interesting points, and I'm sitting here thinking, like, candles doesn't work in my house either, and it doesn't make my husband sleepy, but it he'll know what it means, but there's other things that we know to do, and so I do think it depends on the individual person, and sometimes candles, you know, isn't necessarily what does it for me. But guess what, guys? We have another caller on the line with the last four numbers of 7977. So, caller, I would like for you to tell us what your name is, where you're calling from, and your question or comment.
Jordan, New York. So just to comment on the compassion and the where how is it stimulates, like, so for a movie I might get stimulated like by say a sex scene, you know, so that might stimulate me. And so, you know, okay, this is about to go down. My testosterone is definitely going to be sparked. It might ignite, you know, so, you know, so that'll get me. As far as passion, well, competition. So competition, I'm always aware of that because, you know, for both the men and the women, if it's not being done right, you know, you're going to look outside. You may not go, but you might just do some window shopping or whatever. So you might be, you know, walking down the street and, you know, and you see a woman as a man, you see a woman and you might, you know, kind of tilt your neck to the side a little bit and or your girl might see a man and you know, and she might, you know, put her finger to her mouth. So that competition might, you know, set like, okay, let me, you know, kind of stay on top of my game. That's for me at least, you know. But the whole relationship thing, the whole marriage thing for me is to me it's institutional. And, you know, as the years go on, you know, layers start to come off. Like in the beginning, it's all great and it's good. The sex is wow. You know, and then, you know, year three, year two, it just starts to kind of, you know, and then year five, year whatever, you know, and you might have little moments where you, you know, you're there, but it's not like how it was in the beginning. And that's why I think sometimes marriages, you know, fall apart in that regard, if that makes sense. I came in a show.
No, but what you shared has been very enlightening about the movie part in that, because there's, now that I think about most of these movies, there's always this sex scene, even if you don't actually see the sex, there's a stimulation of that. There's this moving toward it.
Yeah.
And so what you're saying is that visual aspects causes you to begin to think about, oh, especially if you with a date, like,
oh yeah,
this is what I want to do with her. Whoa, I didn't even think about that. Or it begins to increase it.
They might be doing a move that you ain't even thought of on the movie. You know, you might be like, yeah, I want to kill that one right there, you know.
Oh, yeah. Oh, Jason, you are hilarious. Jordan.
Jordan. Well, thank you for your call, Jordan.
All right, ladies. Have a good one.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, too.
So now we're talking about the sex lives of men, and I'm really enjoying this, and I'm so glad that Earth has joined us and the callers have really contributed a lot to this conversation. And I want to talk about something that may be taboo, but I'm going to throw it out there anyway. So there's this conversation out there that I want
some understanding around, which is penis size. And so what I'm looking at is, if you have to choose between being taller or having a bigger penis, it's like, which would you choose? Like, I did this little research with men, and it's interesting how many men chose a bigger penis over being taller, regardless of how short they were. And it's almost as if there's this belief that the bigger the penis, the better the sex life is. And so, and I can only speak from my experience that when I have run across a man who has what he knows that is big, is that he doesn't have any great moves because he's relying upon that penis size, versus the one who's a little unsure about it, he tends to have more moves. But at the end of the day, we say it's not about the size, it's the ocean and the motion that creates the
motion
pleasure.
In the ocean.
The motion in the ocean that creates the pleasure in the ship.
Oh, gosh.
But is it, and of course, Earth, you can only speak from your perspective, and I'm putting you on the spot, and callers, please call in, press 1 to chime into this conversation. But do you all really think that women are more interested in penis size than what you can do with what you got?
I think that some guys are. So I can speak for myself and my boys, because, you know, I'm always the person, you know, amongst, you know, my friends, when we all get together, I bring up any topic. And let's just talk about something different. And we actually had a conversation about that topic. And the guy, like one of my friends, he is huge, so he says. And he said it's not fun for him because he doesn't enjoy, he never gets an opportunity to fully enjoy sex because most women can't take it. And he never gets an opportunity to have full penetration. So he said that's always a problem for him. So he said, no, it's not as fun as people may think it is, period.
Wow.
Well, that is very interesting. And I know you was on the call with us on last month, and I was talking about how the G-spot in a female is only 2 inches into the vagina, and oftentimes men with large penises typically miss that spot. So for the few women that can have orgasms vaginally, if the penis is too large, they kind of miss it. So that's a very interesting point that you just brought up, Earth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and he said he's never fully had an opportunity to, like, maximize his sexual fantasies or desires or whatever, because, you know, he said he does have an orgasm, but he can never have sex the way he wants to, put it like that.
Wow. Let's say it.
Well, you know what's interesting is that I'm thinking that he's going to be jumping up and down, and to hear that no is not what I think it is. Like, having a bigger one doesn't really increase his pleasure. Well, I know for me as a woman, having a bigger one doesn't increase. If it's too big, I'm running in the opposite direction. Like, I don't want that. Interesting. That's all I got. I ain't got nothing else.
Mm-hmm. And
I know, right?
I will,
you will
say this.
Leave it.
No, go ahead. No,
I'm curious to hear what you have to say, because leave it to JB, she will pop up a topic that is like. So what you got, Erd?
Well, I do know of two women and there may be more out there, who don't date black men. One dates white guys and the other one dates Asian men because of the penis size. And I'm sure of course, that's not across the board for all black men. But they said, like, on average, it just hurts for them. It's just not comfortable. So one dates exclusively Asian men. As a matter of fact, she moved to Japan. She lives there now. And the other one dates, you know, white guys. So that's interesting. And that's the reason they do. It's not like they don't like I said, it's not like they don't like brothers. They just, from a sexual perspective, it's uncomfortable for them.
Wow, that's an interesting point. But guess what, guys? We have another caller on the line. And so I would definitely like to hear what they say, what they have to say. So caller with the last four numbers of 5564, please state your name, where you're calling from, and your question or comment.
My name is Morgan Rashid. I'm calling from Atlanta, Georgia. I would like to comment on the topic that we were discussing right now, what y'all are discussing. I think a lot of what has to be said in reference to sex or marriage are, first off, let me start with marriage. I think it's habitual to your environment that you're raised in and the value system that you are accustomed to. So if you're around you're brought up in an environment where marriage is celebrated, marriage is frowned upon or what have you, you tend to take on those traits. And along with the values that you're raised with, whatever your values are, your core values within an individual self, that will determine the nature in which you may want to get married or not. In reference to sex and how we interact toward the opposite sex or whatnot, I think more so is geared towards the instinctual and for men, it'll be more of the egotistical nature of that individual. So let's say, for instance, you would have a man and a woman. By nature, instinctually, you automatically you're going to have a desire for that woman or a desire for that man. So when you bring on a few hormones and testosterone, it's more of and then you play the ego role, where competition come into play, having a frame of mind that you will not be able to, you have to do more, or you have to, you're thought of less to get the individual in a, you know, sexual environment to bring about sex. I think it's, like I said before, it's more so egotistical thing or an instinctual nature of the individuals itself. And that's pretty much all I have to say. Oh, yeah. Also, in reference to penis size and what have you, like I said, egotistical thing. I think a man feels as though if he is not big enough, it kind of stems towards a insecurity issue.
I'm sorry, we are running out of time here. We want to thank you for calling in and being with us on the show.
Not a problem. I enjoyed it.
Thank you. So this has been a wonderful show, and we really want you to check in with us. And if you want more information about us, visit our website. For JDEA, it's youareworthy.org, and for Dr. Lamar, it's thewiseinc.com. Or follow us on Twitter at JDEA Jackson, that's JAIDEI Jackson, or at The Wise Inc. Thank you for listening to the show. This show is strictly for educational and informational purposes only. It is not therapy and thereby should not be considered a substitute for professional counseling. If you are having difficulties in your life and need to speak with someone, please contact the Behavior Health Line at 800-715-7255. And we're out.
Wise Women Show.
That's right.
J. Dill and Dr. Lamar.